Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On 92.9 FM ESPN through radio.com. Favorite 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hi, it's Brad Carson from 92.9 FM ESPN, and it's time for the 24th annual Bunny Run 5K on Saturday, April 11th at Cancer Survivors Park over on Perkins Extended, and the race will be at 9 o'clock. Walkers start immediately after. A great family event, including an egg hunt, parade, children's games, face painting, and a special visit from the Easter Bunny. I'll be the MC, and it's a great cause, helping empower families and family-centered services with serves right here in Memphis. So join us. Sign up now at srvs.org or go to the events section now at 92.9 ESPN.
20 ribeyes for $30 at three locations in Memphis right now. For a limited time, hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare five-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall right now. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steaks, pork, seafood, and gourmet chicken breasts. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent and truck in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall at the Highway 64 entrance and at the South Haven Town Center in front of JCPenney's across from Fox and Hounds. And also look for the big tent in the parking lot of Oak Court Mall directly in front of the food court on Poplar Street. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, New York strips, fillets, bacon wrap fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30. Three locations in Memphis, open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in the parking lot of Wolf Chase Mall, the South Haven Town Center, and Oak Court Mall.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
And compose you a tune, give you loving warm and mama's oven, and if that don't do, then I'll try something new. I will take you away with me as far as I can, to Venus or Mars.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, let's do this Chris Harrington deal.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and beyond. Every weekday around 10 a.m., brought to you by the attorneys of Thomas White & Gill. Find them online at memphisfamilylaw.com.
Chris, what are we listening to here?
That's I'll Try Something New by Smokey and the Miracles. I think one of their now lesser-known hit singles. Smokey Robinson, born on this day in 1940. Among America's greatest living musicians, I think. And I guess I can send that out for the Grizzlies about to start the final third of the season and try some new stuff in terms of Gorgie Jing and eventually Justice Winslow.
You have a piece that is up on the Grizzlies. Looking forward to what is going to happen next. Five things to mull as the final third of the season unfolds. And, of course, one of them is the playoff race right now. Updated numbers, Grizzlies are the favorite.
Depends on what projection system you look at. The one that I think is most realistic, they are the favorite. That is not the case at all.
I loved what you did in this piece where you discussed just some various scenarios. If the Grizzlies go blank, the other teams have to go blank. So if the Grizzlies go 12-16. If the Grizzlies go 12-16,
which is a very realistic scenario given their schedule,
yeah. I might almost take it. I'll be honest, like
right.
Given their schedule, the Blazers would have to go 15-11 to tie,
right?
And who knows what ties mean, because in the end...
Yeah, these are numbers to tie. The head-to-head tiebreakers in every one of these combinations is still yet to be settled.
If the Grizzlies go 12-16, Blazers would have to go 15-11, Spurs would have to go 17-11, Pelicans would have to go 17-10. How confident do you feel if the Grizzlies go 12-16 that they'll be in?
Not extraordinarily confident. I don't think the Spurs team is going to go 17-11 the rest of the way. So I don't take them that seriously. But the Blazers, if they get Damian Lillard back, going 15-11 against their schedule, that's very possible. The Pelicans right. against their schedule going 17-10, that's very possible. So my assumption is this thing is going to tighten, and it's going to be
perhaps quickly, because the Grizzlies are on a four-game road trip where they should lose. No, three-game road trip, right?
Like it was four-game road trip
where they're. They got to win the first one, Sacramento, because then they're going to be the next three, Clippers, Lakers.
They could lose to the Clippers and lose to the Kings and beat the Lakers. You never know. But they certainly don't want to go 0-4 on the road trip, which is possible because I assume they'll probably be the underdog in every game, even against the Kings. I mean, the Kings aren't horrible, and the Grizzlies aren't, the Lakers or the Bucks. And so on the road against Sacramento, Kings might be favored in that game. They probably are. My assumption is that this is going to tighten, not widen, and that when come April 1st, with like a couple weeks to go or however the schedule's set up, like it's still going to be an active race one way or the other.
Yeah, if the order is Kings, Lakers, Clippers, Houston is the order of this road trip. And, 1-3 seems imminently possible. Here's one thing that I was looking at, and our friend Matt Moore was tweeting about this yesterday. The end of the season schedule, we have no idea what the incentives for people will be.
That's always guesswork.
But in the end, if the Grizzlies are playing against teams that have packed it in because they know where they are in the seeding, right? Now it's possible other teams will also be playing against teams that pack it in, but for the Grizzlies, they just got to stay even. So, I think there's a reasonable chance that Houston, that last game, will have packed it in. That'll know where they are, right? He sort of broke down which of these games might be. Well, the last three games are against the Thunder, the Sixers, and Houston. You don't know.
It's impossible to project it. I mean, right now, all of those teams are like tied or close to tied for a playoff spot.
And so there'll be some incentive to do something. We just have no idea what they will be.
Well, we have no idea. We don't know. I mean, there's like 25 games to sort all that out. And so to me, that's an impossible thing to generalize about right now.
One of the things you wrote about was we discussed yesterday. You wrote about Jaren and Dylan. With Jaren, he has only scored 15 points in one of the last seven games.
Right.
Why? Is it mostly because he's not shooting as well?
Players have slumps. I mean, there's not always like what is the magical reason why this thing happened in this game. He's been in a slump. And there have been a couple of those games where he didn't get a lot of shots. Like in was one game, I think he was like 1-for-5 or whatever. Right. And so if he'd gotten more shots, maybe he gets into a groove. We've seen that happen all season long where he'll start out shooting poorly and then come after the break, second half, he starts hitting shots. And so I don't like seeing him getting 5 shots in a game, whether he's shooting poorly or well. That's not the way I'd be playing. And that's generally not the way they're playing. He's just had a bad stretch. Right. I don't make anything of it other than he's had a bad stretch.
Do you make anything of the fact that, as you point out, the starting lineup since Jay Crowder has, if you look at the numbers, not been particularly good, even though leading up that collection of players obviously weren't starting, but that collection of players previously had the numbers had been pretty good. They have not been particularly good since the trade.
I think that bears watching. I mean, I think team-wide, their defense has been up, their offense has been down. But I think, it's sort of a chicken or the egg thing, right? Like, is that lineup, are Dylan and Jaren playing more poorly offensively because the lineup is not functioning as well, or is the lineup not functioning as well because those two players happen to be in a slump? I think it's probably more the latter. It's more that they're just in a slump and that's feeding into everything. I think it bears watching, but I don't assume that like what we've seen over the last four games is what we'll see over the next four games. I think you have to be careful taking small samples and assuming that what has just happened is what will always happen, and that is not necessarily the case.
Right. They don't really have – I mean, they when Justice Winslow comes back, they'll have options, right? But
yeah, I don't. To me, you're not going to start Josh Jackson, who's shooting like 35% from the floor or whatever. So I think this is the lineup you have, barring injury, until Justice Winslow returns, and then that gives you another option there. Now, in theory, you could start De'Anthony Melton and shift Dylan Brooks to the three, and I think that is more your option than like the Josh Jackson option. But no, I think they'll just do what they're doing. Because the thing is, like, these last four games, that starting lineup has not been good. They're 3-1 in these games. And so you got 48 minutes to play with. One lineup for 48 minutes. You're sort of, it's a flow of the game thing. And so to me, it's something they'll just keep working with, and we'll see what happens.
They're not going to start Josh Jackson, as you pointed out, but how has he been? What's your initial read on Josh Jackson?
The shooting numbers are obviously bad. It's something like 37% from the floor and I think 17% from three. And if you watch him play, like, it's not a mystery. Like, you know, his shot does not look great. But the team has functioned well with him on the floor. I mean, part of that is contextual. He's in bench lineups with Brandon Clark and De'Anthony Melton, and those bench lineups have been killing it all season with those guys on the floor. And so how much of that is him and how much of that is he's just on the floor with all this other stuff happening? But I do think he seems pretty good defensively, and just from my eyeball, just watching him play, I think he's particularly good in transition. And they do tend to play faster in those bench lineups. When we don't have Jonas Valanciunas at center, I think those, and you have like smaller backcourts. If you have Jones and Melton in the backcourt and you have Brandon Clark in the front court, that's a quicker, faster up and down kind of lineup. And I think Josh Jackson seems to me he thrives playing that way more so than in half-court basketball. And so I think he's been totally fine in that role. To me, and one of the things I wrote is that he's like maybe the only player left who is in an evaluation standpoint. We started the season like everyone's in an evaluation standpoint. And now I think he's like the last guy left in terms of making a decision this summer. Because most players are locked up for next season. With De'Anthony Melton, they already know they want to bring him back. And so the only player left that you're really making a decision about this summer is Josh Jackson. And so I think that's what's interesting about him is the decision they have to make. And they're gaining more information and intelligence with every game he plays about that. What I've said before is I just suspect that spot on your roster to fill, given the rest of the roster, you probably want a better shooter in that spot than Josh Jackson is or will be.
Have you talked to him, by the way?
Briefly. I talked to him in New Orleans at Shoot Around, which was right when he got back. In a scrum, like, I talked to him a little
bit. He was much chattier than I expected him to be. I thought he would be taciturn. I don't know why, but
I've been in a couple other scrums with him, and he seems totally fine. I mean, to me, there's no barrier.
No bang on anything. I'm just one of the. He is an underrated passer. That's to me is one of.
That's part of like the when I say good in transition, I don't just mean he's
good at
creating buckets
rim,
in transition.
Right.
Like, you know, he'll get a defensive rebound. He'll make the good outlet pass. He can make a pass in traffic. Like I think both ways, he just seems to be better in that up-and-down style than when he gets locked into a half-court.
In terms of evaluating players, and obviously that's not – yes, I think that's the key one. Where do you think they are on – like, what's your evaluation of Grayson Allen? Obviously he's done for the year.
Well, he's done for the season, and they've already picked up the option. He's under
contract
next year.
So there's nothing to
evaluate. I mean, in terms of his ultimate role on the team, that's a separate question. But in terms of – he will be on the roster next season unless some trade pops up in which they need his contract to be in the trade. And so barring that, I think if they have to use him in a trade, they'll use him in a trade, but they're not going to look to trade him, and he's under contract. And so
the only decision would be on what role he plays next year in terms of what else you need. Like, is he, because he's a better shooter ostensibly than Josh Jackson, do you there
if he were healthy now, would you be looking at those two guys in that one role and figuring out what works better, right? You have more length with Josh Jackson. You have better shooting, probably, presumably, with Grayson Allen. Certainly better shooting form. And, like, what gives you more going forward? I think Grayson Allen is more of a two, and De'Anthony Melton has got that on lock, whereas Josh Jackson is more of a three, and that's really the position you have. But basketball is a game of flow, so you don't have to lock guys. And you can just play whatever. And I tend to think the shooting potential of Grayson Allen, to me, is more persuasive given the makeup of the team. And so I think going into the summer, Grayson Allen is on the roster and is competing for a rotation spot. He is not penciled into a rotation spot. He is competing for that rotation, for that last spot in the rotation, basically.
Rookie of the Year, Ja Morant. You did address this.
Yeah,
there's some odds out, Jeffrey. What are the are there odds out for Rookie of the Year at this point? What are they?
So Caesars Palace updated the Rookie of the Year odds. Ja Morant's still a significant favorite, -500, and I want to say it was +140 for Zion. So it's still a heavy favorite.
I mean, Ja should end up winning Rookie of the Year. The only pause I would say is that. I do think he has to play. I mean, he has to play out the season, right? And so we look at it and say, well, you know, Zion Williamson can only play a maximum of 37 games. And so no one has ever won Rookie of the Year playing anywhere close to that number. But if Ja Morant missed a month and then the Pelicans got the playoff spot and Zion Williamson is awesome in the second half of the season and there's already, I think, a little bit of a media inclination towards him because he's like the big story of the thing, like it's not – crazy for me to see like a perfect storm scenario that makes that changes that. And so I don't consider it wrapped up. I consider it a likelihood that Ja Morant is the Rookie of the Year, but I don't think you can just coast through.
The situation that you just described is as if he misses a month or something. If he just plays, let's say he plays at the a little bit less than he is, not as well as the rest of his season. He has a little bit of a subdued finish and Zion tears it up, and New Orleans makes the playoffs. I think you very easily could see in this circumstance, it's sort of Charles Woodson winning the Heisman with a spectacular performance away from Peyton.
Which I loved at the time, by the way. I was very gleeful about that.
It enraged Tennessee fans.
Yeah,
it was that spectacular TV-driven performance.
I think in that scenario you outlined, Ja Morant should be the Rookie of the Year, but I don't think it's 100% lock that he would be. I think people would talk. There are people who would talk themselves into the Zion Williamson vote in that scenario. And that's actually similar to the one I outlined, the Patrick Ewing year.
Go take us through the history here a little bit.
The fewest games ever played by a Rookie of the Year winner in a full 82-game season was Patrick Ewing, who played 50 games, won Rookie of the Year. Second place was
Xavier McDaniel.
I got Xavier Henry and Xavier. Xavier McDaniel, who was the fourth overall pick for the Seattle Sonics. He played all 82 games. He averaged 17-9. Great rookie season. Ewing averaged 20-9. Ewing was a little bit better, but played 32 fewer games. Ewing still won Rookie of the Year.
He came in with a pop.
He was the number one overall pick going into New York. He was a major star coming out of college. He was supposed to be an instant like superstar. And so I was around at the time. I wasn't paying attention to the Rookie of the Year vote. And so my assumption is there was an inclination towards him in the media. And people looking for a reason to vote for him, and they found enough of one to do it. And I do think that parallel, because Zion Williamson, he's only played 10 games. So you look at the per-game numbers, like his numbers are better than Ja Morant's. Ja Morant's is really good, and Zion Williamson's is a little bit better. And so do you find a reason to go Zion? I just think 37 games, that's assuming he plays all of them the rest of the way, which I assume he won't.
Right.
37 games is it's one thing. The year Malcolm Brogdon won, Joel Embiid finished third. He played like 32 games. I actually think Joel Embiid should have won that year. But Malcolm Brogdon was the second-round pick, averaged 10 points a game, right? That's not Ja Morant.
Do you think you mentioned whether Zion will play the rest of the games. Will Ja? What do you think is going to happen with Ja?
My assume is they'll handle him.
When's the last time he did rest? He hasn't a long time ago.
Only once. Once or twice,
I think.
I mean, he had the knee injury. He's missed other games,
right.
but in terms of like healthy rest or whatever, they haven't done that in a long time. And given some of his performances in back-to-backs, maybe they should have, frankly, despite the fan blowback they got when they did it against Dallas. My assumption is that he will continue the way he has, that he'll play, unless he has some health reason not to. And so, I don't assume he'll play all 28 just because I don't assume that for anybody. But I don't think there's a strategic reason that I know of where they're going to sit him where they don't have to.
Well, Dave Loshen wanted to bet me yesterday. I bet him a lunch that he would, if he's healthy, play every game. And I bet, yes, if he's healthy, he will play every game. Dave took the no, they will rest him at some point, back-to-back, whatever. But they haven't done that.
They have not been doing that.
But yeah. So, okay, and then finally, Bickerstaff gets another gig. How about that? He is to pick up the pieces once again.
I almost, this is one of my don't tweet moments. When Dave Fizdale got canned in New York, I almost tweeted, I bet Bickerstaff gets a head coaching job before Fizdell or Dave Yeager do, because this very scenario, right? And I decided that's not worth it, so I didn't do it. But sure enough, you could see this is one you could see coming. Like at the start of the season, everyone thought, well, Frank Vogel won't last. Jason Kidd's the head coach in waiting. J.B. Bickerstaff has been the head coach in waiting. Like it was, I understand John Beilein was like a great college coach, I guess, but that was a crazy hire. To hire some,
but they put down a lot of money. That's the thing. That's what suggests the security. He walked away from the money. That's amazing.
Yeah. No. But for an owner to impose the hiring of a 70-year-old coach,
right,
who had no connection to the NBA at any level, head coach, assistant, player, anything, was just a crazy decision. And you could see, not necessarily that it would happen in season, but when they made J.B. Bickerstaff associate head coach and his dad is in the front office, you could see that like at some point, like the idea of John Beilein serving all 5 years as head coach was just not going to happen.
Okay. You just mentioned Fizdale and Yeager. Rank for me those three people as coaches. And do we know what's happening with Yeager? Like, what, is he going to reemerge at some point?
You know, right after he got the boot or he left or whatever happened, and I don't remember, in Sacramento, he showed up on some of the TV shows, got a nice suit on, got a haircut, he's on like the Jump, whatever, and I haven't seen him since. Now Fizdale's doing all that. I mean, I think Yeager, in terms of what they did in Memphis or what they've done anywhere, like Yeager clearly is the best coach. Right. Yeager was really good in Memphis until it blew up. And Sacramento was a lot better last year with Dave Yeager than they have been this year with Luke Walton. Yeager's problem is not coaching basketball games.
Getting along with front office, right.
Whereas Fizdale's, you know, I think Fizdale did okay in Memphis given the circumstances. It was New York,
and New York's
nothing to work with, right? Yeah. And so none of those people, none of them have demonstrated that they shouldn't be NBA head coaches. It's more like it's a judgment call on all of them.
But Fizdale has not demonstrated at all that he should be. Whereas
Yeager,
there's something to hang your
Yeager is clearly a quality coach when the game starts. Like that, there's no question about that. With Fizdale, it's a little bit more subject to interpretation. And I do think, you know, Fizdale is unlike Yeager, is so good at sort of promoting himself.
Well, unlike Bickerstaff, like, is there any qualitative difference between Yeager and, I mean, not Yeager, between Fizdale and Bickerstaff?
I think Fizdale showed some offensive creativity.
Well, he did. He changed the way they did things. Yes.
So Fizdale deserves a lot of credit for sort of moving the ball or whatever on the Grizzlies, sort of, you know, moving the dial forward on the Grizzlies in terms of their evolution. Whereas Bickerstaff, I don't think showed a lot of creativity in terms of game stuff and tactical stuff. I think what Bickerstaff showed was winning over a locker room and getting and keeping the respect of players and managing difficult situations and that kind of stuff, right? In terms of in-game stuff, it was pretty mundane. It wasn't obviously bad. We've seen bad. It was more just mundane. And so, you know, to me, if Bickerstaff is going to be a long-term NBA head coach, and he probably needs to have success in this situation if that's going to happen, he needs to be a better coach than he's been. But I don't rule that out.
Right. Thank you, Chris. We will talk to you again tomorrow. When we come back, I said that I'd gotten an email from some fans who were at UConn to witness Penny Har signing autographs. And as Jason Fitz criticized him for that, I will read the email I got about what that fan witnessed. And we have a lot more to talk about as well. We'll do that when he returns. Jeff Calkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Sure, Memphians love up Jeffrey Wright. Not just because he's the lovable guy who loves to gamble and watches 7 TVs at once, including The Bachelor with his fiance, but because of sports. Weekdays on the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Feeling the love from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Guess what? The Grizzlies games are now on 92.9 FM ESPN via the radio.com app. Get your Grizz on 92.9 FM ESPN through radio.com. Favorite 92.9 FM ESPN.
From his hit TV show, The Carbonaro Effect, magician Michael Carbonaro is coming to Goldstrike for an electrifying live performance that families nationwide cannot stop talking about. Friday, February 28th, Goldstrike Casino Resort. Tickets on sale now at goldstrike.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Don't miss out on your chance to feel the effect of Michael Carbonaro live.
Believers, you can close your eyes. This is Gary Parrish. The Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar is a great place right next to the University of Memphis campus on the Highland Strip. And if you have an event, a birthday party, a wedding party, a graduation party, any kind of party, book some space at the Bluff. You can rent out any part of the Bluff, the front to the back to the mezzanine, and the place is big enough to accommodate 600 people. They can cater the event for you, or you can provide your own catering, terrific rates, and you can trust that someone on staff is going to be on site to make sure your event is perfect. TheBluffMemphis.com and click the Host Your Event tab to get it booked today. TheBluffMemphis.com.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. I've been representing injured people for over 30 years. We're the largest personal injury firm in the world. I've met so many of you over the years, and I love it when I meet you later in life. I'm always here if you need me, and not just for the things I do. I know who the best doctors are for your medical care. Family doctors, surgeons, OBGYNs, and pediatricians. You name them, I know them. And I know who not to call. I know lawyers who do things we don't. Criminal and family law, wills and trusts, and real estate. If you ever want me to help you, just email me at johnmorgan@forthepeople.com. And hopefully, it gives you the best care and representation. I see so much malpractice in our line of work. Hopefully, my advice can avoid more. Call me if you need me. And thank you for your trust for all these years. Morgan & Morgan, for the people. Dial pound law on your cell.
Free background information available upon request.
Some wireless companies want you to spend your tax refund with them. At Sprint, we're doing things differently. We say, keep your refund. You heard that right. Get the Samsung Galaxy S10 for $0 a month when you switch. Yup, $0 a month. Plus, Sprint's offering a 100% total satisfaction guarantee. While I think their network and savings are great, you don't just have to take my word for it. Try it out and see for yourself. So, what are you waiting for? Head to a Sprint store today for a fabulous deal on Samsung Galaxy S10.
There's never been a better time to switch and get the Samsung Galaxy S10 for $0 a month. Visit a Sprint store, Sprint.com, or call 800-SPRINT-1 today.
Galaxy S10, $0 a month after $31.25 a month. Credit applied within two bills. Requires 18-month lease, new line of service, and approved credit. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, coverage, and offer not available everywhere. $30 activation fee and restrictions apply. Guarantee applies to new lines of service for 30 days.
Giannotto and Jeffrey.
But it's the same idea. They had the number one recruiting class coming in.
Well, and my gut tells me if UNC didn't have this recruiting class coming in, we'd be talking about Roy retirement.
You know who else is a great basketball coach and never preaches to me? Mark Few.
I one time was in a bathroom at the same time as Mark Few.
The Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. Weekdays 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN. Flagship home of the Grizzlies. Favorite Memphis' sports station on the radio.com app. 92.9 FM ESPN. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities. Making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, I'm wrong again. Jeffrey's right again. I'm here to admit it when that happens.
Listen, there's still plenty of time.
The poll was, what's the poll?
The Jeff Calkins Show poll question today: are Memphis sports fans particularly harsh? The options were no, fans are fans, and yes, it's Philly South.
I said that I would have voted no, fans are fans. That's what I believe, but I thought Memphians would vote yes, we're a harsh bunch of fans. And in fact, they voted
62% say no, fans are fans. 38% say yes, it's Philly South. I also had a listener tweet in, Charles Phillips said, quote, I'm a Memphian listening to the show live in Center City, Philly. I've lived in Philadelphia for 5 years, and I'm well qualified to weigh in on the quote Philly South debate. Not even in the same stratosphere. Philly hates, boos almost everyone. In the past year, Philly has booed Embiid, Simmons, and Harper. Bryce Harper. They even go next level, sarcastically cheer every Simmons jump shot outside of 15 feet. These are MVP and all-star level guys, not even remotely close to the same level
there
of sports vitriol.
That is my point. That is not the way I thought Memphians would vote. I thought Memphians would, in the same way that Memphians believe that the drivers
correct,
here are worse than ever, believe that they're meaner than ever. And in fact, their drivers are not the worst ever. They're just not. And the traffic is certainly not the worst ever, and the fans are not the meanest ever. But I'm glad people are self-aware. People actually are more aware. Now, someone asked me if we would have a poll at some point, and so let's see if it remind me to do this, on whether the Memphis media is A, soft, B, harsh, or C, fair.
Are we soft?
Soft, harsh, or fair? I would say soft.
I would say we're soft in the sense
relative to other cities. I even look back at when I first came to Memphis. I happen to be looking back at some of my columns when I first came to Memphis. I was ripping people then, like much more than I do now. I've become softer because
you've changed.
I don't see the point in ripping everything anymore. But when I came here, I thought the job as a columnist was to rip things.
It's a different market though, also, because like when you look at sports media throughout the country, it's not as widespread popular relatively as it is here in Memphis.
Like, what is it?
Like sports, particularly sports talk radio. Sports talk radio in Memphis is bigger in terms of the relative size of the market. It is bigger in Memphis than it is.
It's not bigger than in Buffalo.
It's
bigger than in Seattle. It is bigger than in Seattle, but the Entercom station in Buffalo.
Correct.
Kills it, man. Absolutely kills it. No, you're right, though. We are a colossus.
But I also think Buffalo and Memphis, as you've pointed out time and time again.
Fairly similar. Yes. Yeah. No, in ethic, fairly similar. Anyway, are we soft? Are we harsh? Or are we fair? That will be a poll for another day. All right. I promised, and I don't want to make too big a deal of this. As I said, I'm a huge fan of Jason Fitz. But on this particular point where he was criticizing Penny for signing autographs after the UConn game, I actually get why it struck him as odd.
Correct. I do, too.
You've just lost a tough game, and you're going to sign autographs, right? And But it's just Gary made this point yesterday. That's what NBA players do. You know, the NBA players do that. And secondly, Penny isn't neglecting his team when he does that. The team is back there. They take a minute to get themselves together, et cetera, right? Jason Fitz said it's only 2 minutes. And Penny just, it's the way he's wired, and I give him incredible credit that he knows people come far and wide to meet him, that it could be the best moment of their life, and if he has an opportunity to make someone's day better, he's going to do it. The fact that he's not going to blow by them just because he had a bad day. He's not going to let his bad mood ruin your moment with him. And that to me is unbelievably gracious. Anyway. I got the following email from Patrick Fleming. My wife and I, who live in Maine, drove down to Hartford for Sunday's game with UConn. We are longtime Memphis fans who now must follow the team long distance after our recent retirement and relocation to Maine. Which sounds great, by the way, in the summer. Probably less great during the winter. But yeah. Anyway, there you go.
Not my spot for February.
I would just, Patrick, I would come back to Memphis during the winters. And then head on back to Maine for the summer.
And we've had a lot of rain lately. I'm not sure I'm ready to promote that.
Keep going south for the winners. We witnessed the so-called Penny playing the celebrity role firsthand. And let me just say this. The ESPN reporter is full of it. We were getting ready to leave the arena when we saw a middle-aged lady wearing a Hardaway Orlando Magic jersey literally crying soon after Penny left the court. We thought this was odd, so we decided to talk to her. What we learned tells us a lot about Penny Hardaway, the person. The lady was a UConn fan who was a Penny fan dating back to his NBA days. She was crying not because she was upset. She was shedding joyful tears. Penny has taken the time to sign her jersey after the game ended. As we walked out of the arena with her, she said she was a UConn fan, but all she could talk about was Penny. He had just made her day and her week. He just gave her a gift, a memory that will last forever. I think that says a lot about the man, one that I am proud to call my coach. And that is not the end of the story. My wife Marilyn and I are longtime Tiger fans dating back to the Keith Lee days. We were season ticket holders for 30 years and had met Penny when he was a Tiger player. In fact, my wife personally challenged Penny to get his degree after leaving school to enter the NBA draft, even reminding him that with a degree he could come back and coach the Tigers. We know how that worked out. Well, Penny saw us at the hotel when the team arrived from the airport and came over and talked to us for about 10 minutes, making us feel special as well. Penny is not playing the celebrity role. Instead, he is a genuine and caring person. We are lucky to have him in our corner. There you go. He also says, by the way, I listen to you every morning via radio.com. It helps us keep connected to Memphis. Keep up the good work.
Download, subscribe today.
Download and subscribe today on radio.com. That's the correct answer, isn't it? There you go. He like that is just like whatever you think about, whatever it is, the way he handles rotations, the way I think we can all agree that Penny's a good dude who's really good with the people.
Yeah, I think the other problem, the other thing, like if I were having a conversation with Jason, what I would stress to him is I think people can contextualize and can maybe understand, like, Penny Hardaway, oh, hometown boy, big star. I do not think they understand just how big of a star he is here and how significant it is here.
Well, and how it's just so not playing, how exactly. It really is a sense of obligation.
It's not a, yeah,
he's not
when I say star,
being
like,
a celebrity.
Exactly.
It's a pain in the ass.
As John points out, I guarantee you, I know what Penny Hardaway wanted to do after that game.
Right.
He wanted to get to the locker room, get away from anyone.
Right, but he stops and he whatever. And again, I'm not
it's
going
like a sense of obligation.
This, like, here's there are things people criticize. The other thing people criticize, and where do you come down on this one, is
all right.
Not throwing tantrums on the they wish he'd get a technical. They think he gets run over because he doesn't, because he's not emotional, etc. I don't care about that. I just don't care about that. I think if he were winning, people would say it's because Penny's
cool,
so calm and cool
collected.
And never loses his whatever. And if he's losing, it's like when Josh was throwing tantrums at the end, right? It was like, can you believe it? Josh is out of control, throwing his coat, whatever else. Like, he's looked like a little kid jumping up and down over there. Like, I just think that's one that's dictated by W's and L's.
Yeah, I also don't care. He's got a young team, and I'm not sure yelling and screaming and temper tantrum, I'm not sure that'd be effective.
Yeah.
And the one thing I do think is undeniable about this basketball team is, okay, maybe they have offensive moments of just brain deadness. I don't know if that's a word, but they play hard. And I think what he's doing, like, on the sideline,
they do play hard and they guard,
yes,
which is not easy. Like, that's
like,
not.
I just think if you start getting into that, if you start getting into the show me something. I just think it can make
well, it's for
kids
the officials.
Check out.
It's for the. I think it's what they want him to get angry at is for the officials, right? Because they think that Memphis is getting a raw deal. Okay, another topic. Memphis football schedule did come out yesterday.
Ooh, boy.
Arkansas State, then at Purdue, Houston, at UT San Antonio, at SMU, UCF, Temple, at Cincinnati, USF, at Navy, UT Martin, at Tulane, AAC championship game. What are your thoughts on this here schedule?
Oh, boy. Compare this to last year. This is, I mean, I think realistically this is about as tough of a schedule as you could have in the American. You start off, I think you're going to beat Arkansas State.
But let's
still
be honest,
a regional
Arkansas
rivalry.
State's a good team.
Right. It's a regional rival, and it is definitely a situation where they're going to be more jacked up to play you, and week one's weird. I still think Memphis should win the football.
But that is not playing UT Martin in the opener. That is,
or,
it is not. It is
Southern
a,
or yeah.
Arkansas State's a good football program, and that's a good team, and that's going to be a tough game. Then you immediately go at Purdue. You're going to be an underdog there, even though at Purdue wasn't very good last year. You're playing at Purdue.
Purdue was decimated with injuries last year, and I just think playing them week two. I would rather play them week 10.
So then you got Houston. Come back with Houston.
And then you got the Texas swing, if you will. You get Houston at UTSA and then at SMU. I mean, we're going to know pretty quickly.
Well, the weird thing about this is, yes. So then like you have the 21st, November 21st and 28th, you've got UT Martin and at Tulane, right? And so it's kind of a, obviously Tulane has been better, but it's kind of a soft finish.
This is, Jeff, you're selling it incorrectly.
What?
This is a patented Phil Fulmer finishing slate.
Oh,
this is,
it's going to make
this
feel
is
good about the team.
Throw a CUSA team in there, Vandy, Kentucky.
Let's just
someone
go,
else
let's
in
just
there.
Go right now.
And then
who's going to be?
They
favored.
Remember November.
It's just going to go. Who's going to be? Let's look at the record according to who will be favored. Okay, they'll be favored over Arkansas State. 1-0. They'll be an underdog at Purdue. That's 1-1. They'll be favored to beat Houston, probably.
I think
at home. That's 2-1. They'll be favored over UT San Antonio. That's 3-1. SMU?
I think if you made me guess, say, I think they'll be a slight favorite.
4-1, then home against UCF, underdog.
I think so.
4-2, Temple at home, 5-2.
Correct.
Cincinnati on the road, 5-3.
Correct.
USF at home, 6-3. At Navy, 6-4. UT Martin, 7-4.
Yeah,
at Tulane, 8-4.
That's how I did it yesterday. I just tried to pick it based on what I thought the lines would be.
Okay.
Chances are they probably win one.
It obviously is not going to go that way. I could not go that way starting with Arkansas State. Would you take 8-4? And do you think, by the way, I was listening to Jason and John talk about this yesterday, and they were saying 8 wins about all you can expect from a first-year coach. People will be happy. This plays into what we're talking about Memphis
Correct.
Fans. Do I believe Memphis fans will think 8-4 is a success? No, I do not.
Well, it's what we talked
about. And they're
about.
Not going to say first-year coach. They're going to say he inherited everything. They're not going to cut him a slack. Well, first year, he's not
He's
rebuilding.
He's got the biggest stars of Mike's program.
They're all coming back. Right. Gainwell coming back. Brady's coming back. Coxie's coming back. They're all coming back. If they go 8-4, it'll be seen as, I'm not fair or not, it'll be seen as, disappointing, don't you think?
I think you're right. My deal is I think 8-4 should be, if they go 8-4, anything better than that is considered a good season. I think 8-4 should be the base.
I don't think 8-4 will be considered good.
I agree with you.
Someone very close to all of this said to me, the real question with the Memphis job is,
yes.
Like if you look at Mike,
yeah.
Before last year, what was he the previous year? He was like 8-4 or something, wasn't he? Like it was.
Yeah, it was the one year where the West champion had 3 losses.
So what is what are Memphis fans going to do? Once upon a time, 8-4 for Memphis would have been seen as woohoo, baby, we're 8-4.
Tommy West got several contracts.
Now, Tommy West never won the conference, and he was the highest paid coach in the conference.
The Tigers were 8-6 if you include the bowl loss. So they were 8-4, and then they lost the championship game in the bowl game.
So they ended up 8-6.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's Mike before last year when everything fell exactly right. They had a favorable schedule and they were great. They were great in the clutch. Everything fell right. They were great. Right. The kicker missed a field goal. You know, things happened. Things broke the right way, and they were great. But before that, they were 8-6. Year before that, they were 8-6. And so, if Ryan starts going 8-4, is that going to be deemed successful, or is it because you're following the most successful season in Memphis football history, has that set a new impossible-to-meet standard? I think that's a reasonable concern, that people will not be satisfied with 8-4.
I think it also shows why Ryan Silverfield was able to win the job.
Because people didn't want to follow Mike?
I think people that would view that as a good job, you never want to be the guy that follows the guy.
It's funny, though, because Mike was the guy who followed the guy, in a sense, and he took it to another level. But
young coordinator.
It is true that Mike Norvell, there is no level, the only level higher than what Mike Norvell just achieved is winning that game, is winning that Cotton Bowl. That's the only really, because you can't go to the playoff.
Sure.
So the only conceivable.
And not losing to Temple, I guess.
Is not losing to Temple, and then yes. But that's, there's. Literally, you can't go any higher than Mark does, unless Norvell did, unless you win the Cotton Bowl. Okay, and then finally, the last thing is a lot of talk today about Burrow and Tua,
Oh yeah,
Tua and Burrow.
It's our favorite time of the year.
Burrow said he was getting the Davey O'Brien or something, and he said, "I've got leverage." He was talking about Cincinnati. First of all, he's got no leverage.
Yes, we agree on that.
If Cincinnati wants to take Joe Burrow, they can take Joe. Then they can cave. The Giants once caved, the Chargers once caved and didn't take Eli. Eli had no leverage either. If San Diego had wanted to take Eli, he would have had to go to San Diego.
I mean, the only leverage you can really say Eli had was a last name.
Yeah, last name, and I can sit in New Orleans. But like, there's now John Elway had leverage.
Correct.
Right? John Elway had leverage. Jim Kelly, when he was drafted by the Bills, he went to the USFL.
Correct.
So Joe Burrow has no leverage. Whoever Cincinnati wants, they're going to take. There are already people saying Tua's better than Joe Burrow, though, for example, right? So the question is Tua better than Joe Burrow?
In my opinion, yes, but I don't think it's that simple.
Is it obvious to you, aside from health, that he is better?
To me, it is, yes.
Joe Burrow was awesome.
Yes, he was.
Awesome.
Yes. That was an awesome football team.
Do you believe he will be a... Yeah, but Alabama's not exactly a freaking slouch.
You and I talked about this. I also think Burrow... I'm not besmirching. I love Joe Burrow. I think he's going to be an extremely... I think they're both... The answer is I think they'll both be good quarterbacks.
You think it'll be Rivers and Manning and Roethlisberger?
Yeah, I think both those guys will be good quarterbacks, and I think they're both going to have long careers. The difference for me is I think Burrow started playing in an offense that no one had ever seen LSU play with. He had outstanding receivers. He had a criminally underrated offensive line.
His receivers aren't as good as Alabama's receivers.
I think you can make a case they are.
I don't know. The draft would suggest that the Alabama receivers are better.
I think they can. I think we're going to find in the NFL they're going to tip their caps to Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, you think Jerry Jeudy was made by Tua?
I think rather than the other way around. I think it's the classic example of I think Jerry Judy's an extremely good football player, and I think Tua made him look like you could not cover him.
You like Tua that much?
I love Tua. I think he's the best.
If the Dolphins go up and get him, I have believed this for forever. He's not falling to the Dolphins pick. That's not happening.
No.
If you want Tua, you got to get him at 3.
Yes.
Or Burrow at 3. One of them. Because Chase Young's going to go 2 to the Redskins.
And you could convince me the Redskins sit there and go, all right, boys, we're listening.
Do they for Chase Young? Chase Young is a different kind of a dude, man.
I mean, I agree with you.
And we've just seen in San Francisco what a defensive lineman can do.
You saw how devastated I was when the Giants beat the Redskins this year and they lost the number 2 pick. Like that's how highly I think of him.
But whoever wants the quarterback's going to have to go up to.
Correct.
Is that your Giants pick? That's a Giants pick.
Giants are 4. It's Detroit 3.
It's Detroit pick. They're going to have to go up and get Detroit's pick.
Correct.
And hopefully they're going to have to pay a king's ransom if it's the Dolphins.
If he's sitting there at 4, I'm fine pulling a Josh Rosen with the Giants.
Yeah, he's not going to be sitting there at 4. He's just not going to be sitting there at 4. Someone's going to be 3, and someone's going to go get him at 3. And let's be honest, it's going to be the Dolphins are going to give up a first-round pick.
I'll tell you what I also think is fascinating. Detroit's sitting here at 3. You could have the perfect situation.
Stafford's contract.
Well, you can't cut his contract this year, but next year his contract becomes way more flexible. You get the year of Tua to get healthy, get his Mahomes year.
No, you've forgotten. They got Matt Patricia as their head coach. He's got a win, and he's a defensive guy. They're not doing that. They're taking a freaking cornerback because that's what defensive coaches do. We're going to come back. We're going to take a break. John Morant was featured with our friend Rachel Nichols on SportsCenter. We'll play that interview when we return. It's Jeff Gawkicher. You want to hear from John, don't you? 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, Memphis. This is Brian Reed, president of Best Care Plumbing, Heating, and Air, here with my sales manager, Derek. Derek, did your granddaddy ever tell you nothing in life is free?
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
There's no such thing as a free furnace either. When you think of heating and air, think Best Care. No gimmicks, no hassles. Call us today for a free estimate at 624-1401. That's 624-1401. We are your hometown choice for plumbing, heating, and air, and a proud partner of the Memphis Tigers.
You deserve the best. Best Care Home Services.
Get ready for the best summer ever. Visit the 57th Annual Mid-South Sports Boat and RV Show, February 21st through 23rd at the Agri Center. Make this a summer to remember with a brand new boat or RV. Premier dealers showcasing the newest selection of ski boats, pontoons, fishing boats, family cruisers, and plenty of RVs, fifth wheels, bumper pulls, and more with show specials that cannot be beat. There'll be a massive inventory of boats and RVs all under one roof, plus a great selection of wakeboards, ski gear, and your favorite water toys and more, like fishing guides, resort property, hourly seminars with pro fishermen. Register to win a kayak from Mid-South Floats. Free parking. Kids 12 and under get in free. Boating is for everyone. For more show info, go to memphisboatshow.com. That's memphisboatshow.com. Bring the whole family to the number one sports boat and RV show in Tennessee. February 21st through 23rd.
Come buy a boat at the Anchor Center.
So if you were looking for someone to help your son with his second grade math homework, who would you call?
An auctioneer?
One hit, one, two, now three, $3, four.
Of course not. You'd want to talk to someone who specializes in your specific situation. And when it comes to marketing for your business, it's exactly the same thing. When you make a call for help, it's because you want it to work. It all starts with a conversation. Call Entercom now at 384-5900 and ask for Rachel. That's 384-5900.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. You pay just $30 for a month's supply. And right now, get your first online doctor's visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. That's right, free. Zero copay, no expensive appointments, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe your ED medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
The teams, Tigers, Grizzlies, SEC, NFL, the stories, game day. Penny.
We're not intimidated and we're not afraid to play anybody. That offends people and that's crazy.
The shows. The Jeff Calkins Show.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy.
Jason and John.
Well, hello there.
Giannotto and Jeffrey.
You just made the list.
The Gary Parrish Show.
Be careful, be kind, be good. Rep your hood.
The city.
Operator, get me Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis. The station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Memphis's number one sports place. Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios. Invested in our communities. Making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I've told you how Will Chase of Triumph Bank was CEO of the year, according to Memphis Magazine. And it's funny, I tell you all the time about the service that you get at Triumph Bank, that it's different. It's kind of like, honestly, like the Chick-fil-A of banks. That's how like, why can't every bank be like this? It's like, why can't every fast food place be like this? Like, why can't every other bank?
The line moves.
The line moves. Like, this is, they it's just different, right? And it's not just because they're nice. Reading from the story again, it's, there is a competitive advantage in doing that. You're more likely to go to Chick-fil-A because you have a great experience, right? And you're more likely to go to Triumph Bank because you have a great experience. Here's Will Chase. We do a really good job of knowing our customers, what they do, how they make money. When you have that knowledge from dealing with a customer directly every day at the bank, it's a competitive advantage. To keep those relationships alive, Chase makes himself available at all times, even on weekends. His employees also willing to offer that extra availability to their customers as well. Because of this close focus on homegrown connection, Chase says they don't lose many customers. Of course they don't. It's like the Chick-fil-A. They just do it differently, man. They just do it differently. I'm telling you. It's Triumph Bank, investing in the community and making banking easy for you. Let's get to the one story we've been waiting for.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is, at long last, the one story you've been waiting for.
John Morant featured on SportsCenter with our friend Rachel Nichols. We may not have time to play all of this, but you want to hear what John Morant said on SportsCenter. Right here it is.
Morant, quick stutter step in the lane, hangs, jams with the right hand. Oh, John Morant, what did he just do?
As we sit here, the Grizzlies are in the 8th playoff spot. You're actually 4 games ahead of the team behind you. You've got tiebreaker advantages. You guys aren't just a cute little story anymore. Do you feel like you guys are a playoff team?
I definitely do. I feel like we have all the pieces we need. As long as we just keep the mindset that we have right now, never get satisfied, you know, just keep going out and compete.
You have been playing exceptional basketball, but you play even better when the game gets tight. In the clutch, these are official numbers, you're actually 4th in the entire NBA. What goes through your mind when it gets to those tight late game situations?
I just understand that it's winning time. Throughout the game, I'm normally facilitating, getting my teammates involved, just reading the defense, and it just started to open up for me a lot in the fourth quarter. And that's when I'm able to score the basketball to win basketball game.
Now, right before the trade deadline, They're going a little back and forth, right, over Andre Iguodala. Some of your teammates saying, hey, if he doesn't want to play with us, we don't need him anyway. Wait till we see him on the court. You got a little involved with that. Steph Curry got involved with that. He sent out a picture with Andre with the trophy. You sent back a picture of Kevin Durant saying, oh, look who's finals MVP, not Steph. What made you do that?
I just feel like we're not going to take no kind of disrespect. Still have respect for both of those guys as a person and a player, you know, vets in this league. But I just didn't respect, like, how he handled it on, like, national television. I felt like it could have been a better way, another way. But
you're talking about Andre?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's in the past. We just got to focus on what we have on our team now and, you know, just keep pushing.
You're not afraid of anyone. You went at James Harden, an MVP. You thought he was disrespecting you a little with the way he was guarding you, and you were like, tell that mother about me. What makes you be able to stand up and trash talk to anyone?
I just don't care, honestly. I just feel like everybody put their shoes and stuff on the same way I do. So it's no reason to be afraid of anybody. I came in this league to try to prove that I can compete with the best, and that's just my mentality.
Lillard's three is good! Dame time is here!
How is it even possible to make that shot?
When Damian Lillard had to drop out of the All-Star game, they had to pick a replacement from the Western Conference. Devin Booker got the spot, but a lot of people thought, hey, it should have been you. What did you think?
I mean, I felt like I definitely deserve it with my play. Where is my team at right now, but I only can control what I can.
You tweeted, I will prepare. One day my time will come.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Do you feel like that's just the truth?
I mean, it's just an honor to be able in that conversation as a rookie. Mm-hmm. So I know, like, I'm capable of being an all-star. Just got to work even harder now.
John Morant with Rachel Nichols. Your thoughts? Nice to just fundamentally, it's just nice to see him on the stage, isn't it?
There's no question. It shows how this is different. I mean, John Morant has a different star quality about him to go with just an absolutely fantastic game. I would also like to point out my co-host has been riding high ever since his tweet has been the John Morant tweet that has been making the rounds.
Yeah.
I'd like to point out that Eric Hasseltine was actually on SportsCenter, Mark.
Yes, Eric did make SportsCenter. Do you believe the Memphis Grizzlies are going to make the playoffs? I'm really on. I know analyst Peter said they were. He called us earlier than most. I find it a little scary. Like, take this road trip, right?
Yes.
Sacramento.
Yep.
Two LA teams.
Yep.
Houston.
Yep.
Would you take 1-3 right now?
I would.
Would you lock it in?
Yes.
But you're dropping two games right there.
It's okay. The way that I've looked at it is I'm focused on home games, and if I can steal four road games, that's enough. They're 13-3 at home since Ja came back.
Here's what you have to realize. If they don't make it,
it doesn't.
Doesn't matter.
No,
It would be really fun to have the series against LA, right?
Yes.
That would be fun.
Yes.
And it would build momentum for the team heading into next year at the box office. It would help them sell tickets. They'd sell out two playoff games, certainly, right? Probably not three. Probably wouldn't get three.
Ja's probably going to hit some shot and just go right in LeBron's face and say, I'm next, which would be awesome.
Yeah, it's lost opportunity if they don't do it, but it's not. It means nothing.
No.
All right, that's the way I'm going to look at it then. What's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. They will be joined by Mark Giannotto at 11:25. Brian Scalabrine joins them at 12:25. Enemy of the program, Anthony Sane, joins them at 1:25. Pete Pranica joins us to discuss the Memphis Grizzlies at 3:25 on Giannotto and Jeffrey. Joe Monix joins Jeff, joins Gary at 4:25. Jeff joins him at 5.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow. For now, our work is done.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The lights are on. The games have started. And now you can place your bets at the casino that's closest to Memphis, Southland Casino. Regular season and postseason, tournaments and playoffs, championships and finals. The biggest games are at the best spot to place your bets. Southland, plus big screens, great bites, and cold brews. Come make your sports bets now at Southland Casino. Must be 21 plus. Play responsibly. For help quitting, call 800-522-4700.
Hey, everybody. This is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
Introducing the Orion credit card. 0% intro rate for 6 months on purchases and balance transfers. Apply today at orionfcu.com. After intro period, variable APR 7.24% to 17.99%. Call 1-800-532-9025 for details about credit cost and terms.
Deadlines!
Oh boy.
5-Hour Energy helps you get through your crazy on-the-go life. And now it comes in two great tropical flavors, strawberry banana and tropical burst. They're delicious and can transport you to a tropical paradise. Try them both, then vote for your favorite at 5hewin.com. You could be on the go to someplace you actually want to go. Offer ends 7/31/20. Terms apply. See 5hewin.com for details.
If one of your kids had a toothache, who would you call? A plumber?
Oh, yeah. I see the problem. It's a molar way back there. I think I can get it with this plunger.
Of course not. You'd want to talk to someone who specializes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.